Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
We have a lack of vision, and the vision is we're thinking too much about this world and not the world to come. And we don't realize that our resources and all that God has given us is so that we can be content with Christ here and advance His kingdom through the church with the gospel. That's why God resources us. God resources us for His purpose and not for ours. We lack vision.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Personal development in any area of life takes time, commitment, and proper guidance. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff encourages us to put in the work required to see real development in our spiritual life. He's offering inspiration and step-by-step guidance from the book of 1 Timothy, as we begin the final week of our series, The Kingdom Embassy. If you've missed any of these messages in the series, you can catch up today at bravemedia.online. Right now, let's join Pastor Jeff as he begins the second segment of a message titled, Growth in Goodness.
I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to take a look at the first 11 verses together. And really, we're going to take a look at four errors or pitfalls that we want to reject or avoid altogether if we're really going to grow into who God wants us to be as His servants. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And here in this text, as he teaches us how to grow in godliness, he's going to highlight four areas that we want to reject if we are going to grow into the people that God wants us to be. If we're going to have a hunger and a reverence for God, this is it. And the first is this: growth in godliness rejects laziness and entitlement. Laziness and entitlement. Wherever you are serving in life right now, and whoever you are serving under right now, has been given to you by God Almighty. That's the charge that you serve. And for many of you, you are serving under those who are not Christians. If you're not serving under those who are not Christians, blessings to you. But chances are, in your life, you're going to serve under somebody who's not a believer. You're going to have a non-Christian teacher. You're going to have a non-Christian coach. You're going to have a non-Christian boss. And what are you called to do when you serve someone like that? Here's what you do. You work hard and you serve them well. Let me say it again. You work hard and you serve them well. Because you need to realize it's not just them, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you are serving. And why does he say to do that? So that your testimony won't be maligned. It doesn't matter whether the person's a believer or a non-believer, don't malign the word of God, be used of him. I mean, even the Son of Man, it says, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Philippians 2 says, consider others more important than yourselves. That's what it means. It's not about your success. It's about the glory of God through the gospel that God is trying to grow you. Amen? So don't give in to laziness or entitlement. Number two is this: growth in godliness rejects false teaching through prideful teachers. Growth in godliness rejects false teaching through prideful teachers. If you want to grow, you can't listen to false teaching through prideful teachers. Notice what he says in verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. You say, well, what is that? Sound words are healthy words. Well, what are sound words? This book. This is where you get all your health. This is where you get spiritual vitality. It's from the Word of God. If anybody is teaching anything apart from the Word of God, and you're hearing somebody talk, and you say to yourself, I have no idea where they're getting that. I don't see it in my Bible anywhere. That's not of the Lord. We have a lot of people that stand behind pulpits that are no more than just a conceited ignoramus. You say, well, how do I know what one of those looks like? He tells you. He has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy and strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and depraved of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of great gain. Instead of teaching the word, instead of teaching the gospel, instead of growing people in holiness, here's what they're interested in: morbid interest about controversial questions and disputing words. These are the people that won't just read the word and say, here's what it says, here's what it means. They'll read the word and they'll read Genesis 1, for instance, and they'll say, you know what? God created two genders, but that's not what it means. That was so old fashioned back then. There's more than that, and we got to understand gender identity. No, a preacher that knows the word says God created two genders, male and female. You're one or the other, and you always will be whatever God created you. Amen. You get to Genesis 2. And in Genesis 2, you'll read about marriage and how marriage is between one man and one woman for life. But no. Those that want to be controversial about words say, well, that's what it used to be. But you got to understand now, love is what really matters. And it does. No, it matters. Because there is no other kind of marriage. Right? You read Genesis 1 and you see that God created the world in 6 days. But not these ignoramuses. No, they want to tell you, you don't have, you know, 7 PhDs in all the different languages. So you really don't understand what a day is. But we just read the word and say, we know a day means 24 hours, so we actually know what a day is. And so we're going to teach the word of God. Do you see the difference? And when you see people that aren't opening the word or are questioning the word, that's what he's talking about. And some people never open the word at all when they teach. I'm talking about using the word of God to teach God's people. That's important. Some people that you see in churches, some people you see on TV are doing the right things. Other people, it's just their own cotton picking opinion about what they think people need to hear. And then they patch a Bible verse on it here and there to make you think they're spiritual. It's wrong every single time. Amen? It's wrong. He says, no, he goes, don't listen to them. Because here's what you're going to notice about these men. And unfortunately, I know some of them and I've met some of them. And because they're not teaching the gospel or the word of God, and because they're not wanting people to grow in godliness, they're filled with all these things. They're filled with envy. You get to know some of these men, they're filled with envy. That means that they're jealous of the attention and popularity of another leader or teacher. You'll hear it in them. They built a platform for themselves, and if you were to tell them, I like this guy teaching over there better, that would hurt their feelings. Listen, if you're hearing somebody else other than me and they're teaching you the pure, unadulterated word of God and you're growing in Christ, I praise God for those preachers. We're on the same team, amen? I'm not jealous of that. I'm not envious of them. I'm not competing with them. I'm not trying to come up with cool new series and looking hip or dyeing my hair a different color because I can't do it. I mean, that's just not me. I want to teach the word of God, and I'm for anybody that's teaching the word of God and the gospel of God and churches that are growing in godliness as a result of that. Praise God, we're for them. They're on our same team. They're brothers in Christ. Not these guys. They're envious. They're known by their strife, which is their discord and dissension. There's a lack of unity for the gospel of Christ. I can tell you one of the reasons it's taken a little bit longer to negotiate some of these deals with church building so that we can grow is because of this very reason. Because we love the pastors and we love the leadership and we love those churches. And we've sat down and told both those churches, if this is not a win for you, it's not a win for us. If this us moving into your building would hurt your church, it's not what the Lord would have, because we at Brave Church love you and we love your ministry and we want it to flourish. And if we can help do that, then we're doing it together. This is not a business deal. This is a kingdom deal. Amen? Because we're on the same team. We're on the same team. But that's not what you hear from these guys. There's strife. It's all about them. It's all about their ministry. There's abusive language. There's abusive language that accompanies people that have left the word of God. People will be slandered, defamed, reviled, verbally abused in the most wretched way. I've heard this. When I hear a pastor talk down about another pastor, another church, I know they're on this track and I hate it. No, never. We talked about it last week. You never do that. You don't talk that way about other people. But see, when you're trying to build your own platform, you do. Let me just be crystal clear. And I've said this from this pulpit many times before, but it bears repeating. You don't need me. Brave Church doesn't need me. Jesus Christ has appointed me in this season to serve him. But if I wasn't here, Brave Church can still flourish and be phenomenal. And to the extent I'm trying my best every week to preach the word of God accurately and in a healthy way and a God-honoring way, but I would tell you this, if I'm ever off, believe the word. Amen. The word is what you need. You're not dependent upon me. You're never dependent upon another Christian. You're never dependent upon a personality. We're dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. That's who you're dependent upon. Do you get that? And God can use me in your life in the same way that he's using you in my life, and we're mutually growing one another, but we're not dependent upon each other. We're dependent upon the Lord, not these guys. They talk bad about other people. Be leery when you hear people talk bad about other Christians. And there's evil suspicions. What's that mean? They're paranoid. See, when you're not building a platform for the Lord, then you're paranoid because you wonder, are people still liking me? Are people still going to come? Do people still think I'm pretty good? They're paranoid about everything. They see themselves as a victim. Anything that goes wrong, they'll tell you, this has been the hardest ministry year. You got to be here for me. You got to be here for my wife. It's been so hard. It's, you know, everybody's so hard on me. Victim, victim, paranoid. And here's what you see in them. When people do kind acts for them, they're often met with suspicion. Like, why are you doing that? Are you trying to, you know, get in with me? Are you trying to do something nice to me so that you can kind of earn your way? And they're defensive. Any word of warning will be received with a defensiveness. Hey, pastor, you need to be careful about that. I see this in your life. Hey, who are you to tell me? They're paranoid. There's evil suspicion lurking everywhere. That's how they're marked. That's how false teachers are marked. He's telling Timothy that. It's amazing to me this was written 2,000 years ago. And there's constant friction between men. There's this perpetual quarreling, constant bickering and arguing, violent contention. We're always, you know, sizing ourselves up to see where our church is compared to other church and how big we are compared to how they are. And none of that stuff matters. What matters is the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And it finalizes the statement with their motivation. They believe godliness is a means for gain. Now, we talked about this last week a little bit, that elders, especially those who give themselves to preaching and teaching, are worthy of double honor, that it's okay to pay your pastor and be generous to your pastor. But these guys take it one step further. Here's what they really think. They really think, you need me, because I'm really gifted compared to a lot of other people out there, and I'm using my platform to personally benefit financially from you. Friends, you'll see this in churches, and you'll see it on TV. And it's sick. And it's horrible, and it's wrong. No platform for the Lord Jesus Christ should be used for personal extortion and gain from God's people. Do you hear me? That's what he says. He's like, that's how you know that you're listening to a prideful, ignorant man. Now, some people start this way, and some people end up this way. Right? When I'm reading this week, I mean, I'm thinking about people I know. I can tell you their names personally. And after I stopped doing that, because when I'm teaching the word and getting ready to teach and the Lord's speaking to me, I start asking myself this, what keeps me from ever becoming that? Like, that's a better question. Because it's really hard, because these men are no longer on a mission to glorify God and evangelize and make more worshipers. Instead, they're working on how to use their own personal platform for their own personal gain. May it never be. I mean, I'm going to see some. I just want to finish well. Whenever that is, I want to know that I did what God wanted me to do. I want to finish well. What keeps me from that? You know, I had a friend in Iowa that invited me out to a Bible conference this last August to speak, and I spoke at it. And we were doing a podcast when I was out there. And as he was doing the podcast, he was telling me about me compared to some of the other speakers that had come. And he said this to me. He's like, Jeff, you know, when you come out, you don't demand anything. You don't tell me what you need to do. You don't have all these things. And he goes, why is that? He goes, you just come across really humble. And I started telling him why. I said, because I've been crushed time and time and time again in ministry. I mean, my whole ministry has been things I thought were going to happen and they never happened. And I said, by the time I planted the church when I was 40, I knew it had nothing to do with me. If I would have planted when I was 26 and things would have grown, I would have thought in the back of my mind, maybe it's a little bit because of me. But God took me on a 14-year journey to crush every part of me to show me that he doesn't need me at all. And I firmly believe that. And he sent me the podcast about 2 weeks ago. And I usually don't listen to myself talk or do this. But as I was listening to it, I was agreeing with what I said. But I'm like, no, there's more than that. There's more than that. Because pride is a lot like bad breath, isn't it? I woke up with bad breath this morning. How about you? I had to take care of that this morning before I left. And I realized if I don't take care of bad breath every single day, I'm going to have bad breath. And God gave me children that sometimes come into my room in the morning before I leave for work to remind me. Like, hey, Dad, before you go today, you might want to remember to brush your teeth or you're not going to have any friends. They love me enough. And while all the things I told him were true, it was a reminder to me, it's an everyday deal. Because if you just say, well, I used to have pride and now I don't, you're on a trajectory to be prideful again. Every day it needs to be washed new. Now, I've had people say to me before, and I know what they mean when they say it, like, hey, pastor, I'm just praying for you to stay humble. And thanks. I mean, like, how do I do that? I can't even keep myself humble, but I know what you mean. I mean, you've seen enough people that have, in pride, kind of blown up a church. So what are proactive things? I mean, here's two proactive things I think I can do and that you can do every day to ensure you from being prideful. And in the men that I know that are prideful, they don't do these two things and they lost them a long time ago. And the first is this, is to model a devotional or prayer life on a daily basis. It's a pursuit of the Lord. Do you have a pursuit of the Lord? Many people make the false assumption that all pastors read their Bible and pray. I'm here to tell you that's not true. Some of the men that I've known that used to be good Bible teachers that have grown prideful, or guys that are just prideful, they don't have a devotional life. They don't spend time in the presence of Jesus. What I've discovered is if I'll spend time in the presence of Jesus and I'll ask him, Lord, search me and try me and know me and see what wicked way is in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God's Holy Spirit has a way of convicting me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's never stopped. He's never just said, hey, Jeff, I'm just telling you, compared to everybody else I'm talking to, you're awesome. Don't even worry about it. That has never happened in my devotional life ever. I find that God's more concerned about me than anybody else that I ever pray about. One is having a devotional life where you're pursuing the Lord. And the second is this. The second is this. We tell all of our pastors that we send out through Brave Global this. It's inviting invasive accountability. Inviting invasive accountability. In other words, who do you have in your life that you will allow to speak into your life about anything in your life at any time in your life? Because the people I know that are prideful, they've had people speak into their life, but they don't listen. They stopped listening a long, long time ago. Who do you have in your life? Do you have people that can regularly come up to you and say, hey, I've seen this in you, and I love you enough, and you're not gonna like this, but I'm telling you this. It's not an invitation for everybody in the world. None of us can hear it from everybody. It's not like we put an ad in the Denver Post and saying, hey, if there's anybody in Denver that's seen anything in my life they don't like, please line up. That's not what it means. But who are a few people in your life that know you, that love you, that want to see you flourish for the Lord in your life, that care about you enough that can speak the hard thing that you'll actually listen to? Because none of us are beyond rebuke. Did you know that? None of us. We never get to a place where we can say, who are you to tell me? Never. And what I find in prideful people, they lost those two things a long, long time ago. They stopped pursuing the Lord and being in front of him, and they didn't have other people in their life that they would ever listen to. Friends, we have to reject that. We have to reject false teaching that comes from prideful teachers, and we got to reject laziness and entitlement. And the third thing that we need to reject is the love of money. It's getting easier, isn't it? I'm telling you, teaching the book of 1 Timothy has not been for the faint of heart, I can tell you. If you're going to grow in godliness, you have to reject the love of money. Notice what he says. He says in verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Did you hear that? It's not about getting more money that makes you great. It's godliness that's combined with contentment. You don't know what contentment is, do you? Contentment means that you're satisfied with what you are and what you have. It's not wanting more or anything else. It's satisfied with what you have and who you are if nothing changes. That's contentment. And some of you are looking at me saying, can I even be an American and believe that way? Contentment means I have everything I need right now, and if I never got anything else, I'm totally content in that. And I'm content with who I am, and I'm content with what God's given me. And if he chooses to do something else, that's great, but I'm content. And what I'm really concerned about is growing in godliness. Because for most of us, when it comes to why do you want to go to college? Why do you want to get a job? Why do you want to do the things you do? You know what the answer is? Because I want more. I want more stuff. I want a better house. I want a nicer car. I want better clothes. I want greater friendship. I want more. I want more. I want more. God says, here's what's really good. When you're content with who you are and you're growing in your godliness, there's great gain in that. That's what it looks like. We need to be free from the love of money. It means we need to be content and, and generous. Notice what he goes on to say. He makes three arguments here. He says, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it either. He says, some people, the reason that they're not content is they have a lack of vision. That's number one. Some of us lack vision. You say, well, I have tons of vision. I have all these things I want to accomplish in the world. You didn't bring anything into the world. You ain't taking anything out. You came into the world in your birthday suit. That's what you're going home in. That's it. I mean, you've heard people talk about they've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it, right? I mean, you're not taking stuff with you. The stuff you have, it's just going to be stuff that your poor kids have to go through that they don't want either. So get rid of it now. Nobody wants what you have. All the stuff you're accumulating that you think is so important, nobody else needs and nobody else wants, and you really don't want it either. We have a lack of vision, and the vision is we're thinking too much about this world and not the world to come. And we don't realize that our resources and all that God has given us is so that we can be content with Christ here and advance his kingdom through the church with the gospel. That's why God resources us. God resources us for his purpose and not for ours. We lack vision. Second is this, we lack gratitude. Notice what he says in verse 8. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. We're not thankful for what we do have. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I'm not rich. You know, that's for the people, you know, a section over. I know them. They're rich. No. Let me tell you something. Compared to 90% of the world, you're rich. Most of you are not worried about how you're going to eat today. Most of you are not worried about where you're going to find clothes to wear tomorrow. Most of you are not worried about how you're going to find a shelter. And hey, even if you come to Brave, and I know some of you that come to Brave are homeless, we'll help you too. We can get you a meal. We can get you covering for a night. We can get you some different things that you need. You're rich. We're all rich. And we're not nearly thankful enough for what we have. We're always asking God for the next thing. God, I need this. And God, I need that. And God, I want it better. And God, I want it bigger. And God, I need this. Versus, Lord, thank you for what I do have. Thank you for what you have provided. Because some people falsely think, well, when I make more money, then I'll be better with my things. I'll be more generous to God. No, you won't. You'll be just as generous as you are right now. If you're not faithful with little, you will not be faithful with much. That's what the Bible teaches. Be thankful for what you do have. There's a lot of people that would love what you have. Be thankful for it. Be grateful. Every good and perfect gift that you have comes from the Lord. We lack vision. We lack gratitude. And then third is this. We lack discernment.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the middle part of a message titled Growth in Godliness. It comes from our greater series, The Kingdom Embassy. And if you'd like to learn more on how to connect what you believe with how you live, keep tuning in for this final week of our study. And remember, you can find all of Pastor Jeff's previous lessons and listen anytime at our website, bravemedia.online. For easy listening on the go, download the Brave Church app. With the app, you'll have mobile access to all of Pastor Jeff's messages and sermon notes, along with exclusive opportunities to get involved with the Brave Church community. On the app, you'll see options to sign up for small group Bible study, share prayer requests, and learn more about upcoming events at Brave Church. So, don't miss out on this free faith-building resource. You can download the app to your phone or smart device today by logging into your favorite app store and searching for Brave Church Denver. Now, before we close today's program, we invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. If you're listening anywhere in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit in person this Sunday at our campus in Englewood or our other campus in Westminster. If you're listening from elsewhere, you can join us right from home through our live stream. You'll find all the details for attending or streaming services at bravemedia.online. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have questions or comments you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, we'd love to hear from you. We take time to read every message we get from our listeners, and it means so much to us to hear how this program is impacting your own walk of faith. Feel free to send us an email. hello@bravechurch.co. And that brings us to the end of today's program. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Tomorrow, Pastor Jeff takes us deeper into the book of 1 Timothy to find powerful, practical advice in our pursuit of growth and godliness. That's coming up next time, here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.